Now we turn to the deadly sin of wrath, a sin that must be handled carefully because Scripture distinguishes between righteous anger and sinful wrath. Scripture uses multiple words for anger, and not all anger is sinful. Wrath becomes deadly when it's disordered, excessive, or unjust. So here are a few words from the Bible. First, some Greek words. Orge, settled anger, indignation. This word can refer to God's righteous wrath, as in Romans 1:18, or human anger. It implies a deep, abiding anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, and uses this word, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So you see, anger itself is not automatically sin, but it easily becomes sin. Actually, it's part of the emotional makeup that God made us. It's anger is a natural reaction, but it's what we do with that anger and what we allow it to do to us. Another word is thymos. This is explosive rage. This is more impulsive, passionate fury. In Galatians chapter 5, we're given a list of what I call fruits of the flesh. And one of those is fits of anger. And that's what this is talking about, the uncontrolled outburst. And then there's paragogimos, provoked anger. Provoked anger. Ephesians 4:26 uses this for lingering anger. It suggests an irritation that festers. It goes on and on and on. There's an Old Testament word, kema, means burning anger. And the word picture is literally heat. It's wrath. It's often described as heat rising. And then there's ath. And this is the word for nose, anger. It's the word picture is flared nostrils. You know, when you're so mad, your nostrils are, you can just see somebody smoking. Anger is physically described here. In the New Testament, we have a similar picture when it talks about gnashing of teeth. You're so mad, your teeth. God's wrath in the Old Testament, we're told, is always just. And God does have wrath. But human wrath often is not. Well, there's some interesting stories in the Bible relating to wrath. Cain, his wrath, which led to murdering his brother. In Genesis 4, 5 through 8, Cain was very angry about what was happening, that God didn't accept his offering and his face fell. And remember, God warned him, but he ended up killing Abel in his anger and his wrath. Wrath that is not mastered will become violent. And we see this all the time on our news. Wrath that is not tamed becomes a wild beast. That's a good way to refer to it. If it's not tamed, it gets out of control and becomes a wild beast through us. Then there's the story of Moses striking the rock, Numbers 20, verses 10 through 12. In anger, Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And he misrepresented God's character. Wrath ended up distorting his leadership, and he got punished for that. Then there's Saul's rage toward David. 1 Samuel 18 to 20, we know the story of David and Saul. King Saul didn't like what was happening with David, and his anger became an obsession, and he attempted murder. And you remember he threw the spear at him several times, trying to kill him, and then went after him with his armies. Wrath feeds paranoia, and Saul definitely had paranoia. Then there's Jonah's anger at God's mercy. Jonah 4:1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He could not understand, and it made him mad that God was going to forgive these horrible Ninevites. He was angry at mercy. Wrath can cause us to resist God's grace in other people's lives. And then there's the story of the older brother. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? In Luke 15, 28, he was angry and refused to go in. He could not fathom. He was so upset about what his brother had done and his father just pouring out blessing upon him. Wrath can arise when we believe grace is unfair. And then Jesus and anger. Jesus displays righteous anger. We don't often think of Jesus getting upset and mad. In Mark 3, 5, he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. His anger was directed at injustice. Remember, he cleared the temple. Or at least the temple grounds. It was controlled without malice, oriented toward restoration. It wasn't directed directly at people. It was directed at the injustice of the people. He cleansed the temple, as John 2 tells us, but Jesus never sinned, according to Hebrews 4:15. He was able to get angry and not sin. So righteous anger itself is not the deadly sin. Wrath is anger turned inward and outwardly destructively, and that is deadly. Ponticus described wrath as blindness of the soul. He called anger one of the primary, quote, evil thoughts. He wrote, anger is a boiling and stirring up of wrath against one who has done harm. He taught that anger clouds prayer. Remember, he was speaking to monastics. He says the angry monk cannot pray purely. That would apply to us too. Wrath disturbs one's inner stillness. John Cassian, he taught that wrath destroys spiritual clarity. He said, the mind blinded by anger cannot discern what is right. How many times do you, and you probably experience this as well, you're angry and you're just so upset and you have to make a decision and you make the wrong decision because you're blinded. Wrath distorts judgment. It narrows perception. Gregory the Great acknowledged several forms of wrath. He distinguished between sudden anger, sustained anger, and revenge-seeking anger. Wrath becomes a deadly sin when it refuses reconciliation, desires harm, and nurses resentment. Refuses reconciliation, desires harm, and nurses resentment. Aquinas defined wrath as the desire for vengeance. Anger is not sinful if the injustice is real, if the response is proportionate, and the motive is justice, according to him. Wrath becomes sinful when it exceeds reason, when it seeks harm rather than justice, when it refuses mercy. Aquinas saw righteous anger as potentially virtuous when ordered by love, by charity. Disordered anger becomes wrath. Hebrews 12:15 calls this the root of bitterness. Well, Jesus' antidote was what? 5:44, love your enemies, he said. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Forgive one another as Christ in God, and as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness is the antidote to wrath. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is the antidote to wrath. Meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. Meekness is anger governed by love, by God's love. Lastly, wrath ultimately resists God's role as judge. Romans 12:19, Paul quotes the Lord, which he says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Wrath usurps divine authority. It says, I will judge. Faith says, God will judge. Wrath is disordered anger. It's a desire for vengeance. It's a refusal of mercy, and it's a rejection of God's justice. It says, I must make this right. Where the gospel says, God will make all things right. Now, recently, I discovered the book called The Count of Monte Cristo. And there's actually some movies about this out now that have been out, which I did not know about. And I won't tell you the whole story. I won't ruin the whole plot line. But this young man was wrongly imprisoned. He lost 15 years of his life. He lost his love, his fiance. He lost his father. And then he escaped prison and he came into a fortune. And his wrath caused him to use it for revenge. And the whole story is watching him take out his revenge. And you're sitting there saying, yeah, 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 which is terrible. But that's the account of Monte Cristo. But then you contrast that with the true story of Joseph in Genesis. Here he was sold by his brothers to traitors. He ended up becoming a slave. He lost years and years of his life. He lost his family. He lost his homeland. But then he came into fame and power and fortune. And he used his power to do what? To forgive. Remember when he came to his brothers came to him, and then he went to them. They were all paranoid about what he was going to do. And he says, what you meant for evil, God has used for good. He forgave. So the deadly sin of wrath. So let's take a few moments of quiet reflection and ask the Lord where wrath might be in our lives.